PetroMart is a locally owned and operated family business that's been serving the St. Louis area for over 30 years. Each location is just as clean, fast, and friendly as the next, with 50 locations to serve you. In a hurry? PetroMart offers a wide selection of grab-and-go food items, like hot and ready pizza or fresh fruit and salads. PetroMart has something for everybody, and it's always prepared fresh and available around the clock. PetroMart, a proud supplier of Phillips 66 gasoline and proud sponsor of the St. Louis Blues.
Looking for extra cash? Jewels on Hampton in St. Louis Hills pays some of the highest prices for diamonds, gold, silver, semi-precious stones, coins, flatware, and currency. Located at 4506 Hampton Avenue, just three blocks south of Chippewa. Learn more at jewelsonhampton.com or call 314-752-5000. That's 314-752-5000. Jewels on Hampton, paying some of the highest prices.
I actually remember where I was the first time I heard this song.
Wow.
Rolling Stone says it was summer.
Yeah.
And I want to say, do you show anywhere what year? Because I want to say 65, 66, something like that. It seems to me it was, I know it was a summer, and I was in a relative's car, and it was a hot day, and that song came on. What year is Satisfaction?
1965.
Bingo! I said 65.
Way to go.
Yeah. And it was just one of those songs that the first time I heard, I thought, okay, this is a song. I love this song. Kind of the bulletin music.
Gotcha. Ready?
Yeah. We interrupt what would have been a commercial right before Dan Buffo with this breaking news bulletin. I've just been informed we will not be on the air Thursday. The show will not be on. I wish I knew more, but I just got off the phone with John Hadley, and you can't understand anything he says. So I don't know what he said to me, but it was something like, hey, dude, somebody supposed to be on Thursday. And all I heard, the only part I got was, I'm sorry, you're not going to be no show Thursday. So we now have a show.
So I've got a day off Thursday.
Yes, you do.
Okay,
you have
right.
Another two long weekends in a row.
Wow.
And two even longer weekends in a row. So I just found out, folks, that's all I know. There'll be no Thursday show. There's a remote of some sort. And this station is a sports station, and it all has to do with juggling things because of the Blues. So we will not be here Thursday. And now, back to our regularly scheduled program, which would include this message from Thompson Price. And then we move right over to Dan Buffa. We're going to talk movies and television shows, and he's got some big news about somebody flying him out to the West Coast.
Ooh.
Because he's an official,
Hello.
Movie reviewer. And what's wrong with this picture? It's actually my show, and he's being flown out. What the heck? I got to get me those.
I didn't even get an invite.
Wait, I think it's to the East
what's
Coast,
that about?
Not the West Coast.
Well,
right?
Either coast, whatever. And I've never applied. I could get those credentials. I've just never bothered to apply for them. I choose to let others take those perks. That's just the kind of guy I am. And now a word from Thompson Price. I hope he doesn't mind if I do this, but Tim, first of all, Tim's not feeling very well, so he's kind of in now.
He's got the gurgles.
Oh.
I don't know what he has, but
the cramps and gurgles.
He sends me a text.
From the bathroom?
A couple of days ago, showing me that there's an ad in the paper about Thompson Price moving to a new showroom. He says,
what?
I don't know if you saw this. I wrote him back and I said, Tim, I've been talking about this for 2 months.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Yeah. Every spot for 2 months. And he texts me back and goes, I don't listen to the show. So to his credit, he was trying to give me a heads up that Thompson Price is building a new showroom. Well, I knew that. I knew it at least a couple of months ago. So let me tell you what this is all about. Thompson, I don't know who the most successful kitchen and bath remodeler is in St. Louis. I don't know what that would be based on. Number of customers, revenue taken in, best price. I don't know. I don't know who's considered number one. But if I had to guess, let's put it this way. It wouldn't surprise me if it turned out to be Thompson Price, for a lot of reasons that I just mentioned. One, getting your money's worth, great value, excellent, excellent work, because they are perfectionists. And the proof of all that is that while some kitchen and bath places come and go, they change names and partners and they sell to other people, here's a company that's in the process of moving to a brand new location in Chesterfield Valley. And they're not just moving showrooms for the usual reasons, like we need more space or we needed more visibility. No, this is so that they can build from scratch, from the ground up, a whole new concept in a kitchen and bath showroom. And they're doing something for literally everybody, for not just regular consumers like you and me, but for contractors and designers and decorators and home builders. It's going to be something for everybody so that anybody can go there. And you can work with, if you want, a decorator. You can work with their people, work with a contractor, work with yourself, just you. Any number of people or few people, lots of people. Everything everybody needs is going to be there. They're going to have a lot more samples of cabinet doors and more color combinations and more styles available, more kitchen and bath fixtures, more water fixtures. You get the idea. It's going to be tremendous. But you don't need to wait to put into play your kitchen and bath ideas. You can do that now. In fact, there's a real good reason to start it now, and that's this. Their current showroom is in DePair. And if you go there now, you can save a lot of money on fixtures and cabinets and countertops and things that are in that showroom that they don't particularly want to move to Chesterfield Valley. The showroom is in DePair. It's less than a quarter mile east of 270 on Manchester. We've told you that for some time. And for some time, we've told you that they're moving to Chesterfield Valley. And if you're wondering, well, why come they're not already moved? This is not a simple move. It's a big deal because it's being thought out and done right. So somewhere middle, end of summer, the move will be complete. You don't need to wait. You get this process started now and get everything in a row and get it ready to go and let them start helping you now. And your ideas, their ideas, you put them together and you go through what I call the Thompson Price process and it'll be well worth it. And I don't care if you just talk to them or talk to three or four other kitchen and bath companies. I think the winner, when they get ready to open the envelope and say, and the winner is, I think it'll be Thompson Price because they want what you want. You want to get your money's worth and they want to give you your money's worth. You don't want to overpay and they don't want you to overpay. But you also don't want to go with just whoever comes along and says they can do it the cheapest. Because the word cheap has more than one meaning there. It's not just low price. It's cheap work. You don't want that. You don't overpay. You just want your money's worth. And you want the finished product to be the perfect kitchen or bathroom for you and your family. And that's what they want, too. Thompson Price. Make sure at least one of the companies you're talking with has the name Price in it. You can find out more at ThompsonPrice.com.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Yeah.
Let's all go to the lobby.
Go to that lobby.
Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to check in with Dan Buffa, our TV and movie guy, courtesy of Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States of America for lots of good reasons. More at WindowWorldSt.Louis.com. I will, let me throw a couple of phone numbers at you. Because you may want to call with a suggestion, a TV show, a movie, series that we should either take a look at or stay away from. 855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. Would you please give it up for Dan Buffa?
Hello.
How are you?
Welcome. Thanks for having me on. Wonderfully hot Tuesday afternoon.
Mm-hmm. I would like to formally present you in front of everyone, give you back your copy of John Wick that you so generously loaned me. My wife and I watched it, and we did not like it. We didn't like it, so there it is. And I'll tell you what I didn't like. He was impressive. He was very impressive. I just didn't like the story. It was way too over the top for me. Hey, let me give you an example. I'm sort of tired of movies where, one guy is about to get his butt kicked. He's just taken care of five guys, and now he's out of ammo. So somebody tosses him a fully loaded gun. Of course, he catches it, but never misses. He catches it perfectly just in time to mow down some other guys.
I can't remember that happening in John Wick 1, did he?
That's just an example of, it may not have happened, but that kind of.
Because the thing I like about the movies is that Keanu Reeves takes a beating as John Wick. I like that he doesn't just beat the guy up. He takes a beating.
Okay, he doesn't take a realistic beating.
He does, though.
He'd be dead in 5 minutes.
I know, but this is like a heightened reality that Chad Stahelski has in this world of Hitman.
Don't start. You know, don't. I'm just telling you, I didn't like it just because I like realism. I'm not a fiction person.
But
I'm
real stunt work, though. It's not CGI.
It's real stunt work, but the story was not believable to me. Well, so that was it. But thank you for loaning it
hey,
to me.
Hey, I'm here to help.
Now I don't want to see the current John Wick.
See, then you just save yourself four hours of time.
$13.
You save $13.
Or whatever. So first of all, tell us, because you called me and said, hey.
I did. This is
and
kind
and
of
let me tell people something. I think you're being able to take this free trip to where is it?
I'm taking it to New York.
It's because of me, and I'll tell you
it why. Is because of you. Yeah,
because they require that you, and you'll have to show proof that you played your interview clips on an actual radio station, which you'll do here. Tell them who you're going to go see an interview.
So usually I never get these offers. They usually give them to TV people for good reason. Nobody wants me on a TV. But I got
if
this
you
offer.
That beard, I bet they would.
I don't know. I think it'd still be questionable. Mm. But I got an offer from Allied. Allied Marketing sets up all the screenings. They set up, you know, with all the studios. Studio tells them, okay, let's have it on this date at Esquire. So occasionally, Warner Brothers, who does a lot of these fly-out things, they'll have people, like a couple of my critic friends, Max Foyzies went out to New York for a movie. And Max is the one that vouched for me to get me into St. Louis Film Critics, and he's a good dude. But he went out there, and I got this offer, and I'm like, whoa. And of course, it's terrible timing for me because my wife is going out of town. So then it's like, well, what am I going to do with that 7-year-old kid that I helped produce? That's the biggest thing. But through a trio,
he can't stay on his own.
Well, he's almost at that age. I mean, I offered to do that, but the wife shot it down. I was like, you know what? He knows where the kitchen's at. He knows. Don't touch
that. I stayed sometimes for a week at a time by myself in my house when I was a kid, when I was four.
Yeah.
I guess times have changed.
See, then my
are
wife
you
can,
serious?
Wife should be
no,
listening.
Of course I'm not serious.
Are you serious?
I like the way Tim had to confirm. Are you serious, Clark?
No, I'm serious.
I think I said I wasn't serious. Okay?
Oh, Santa Claus.
So through a trio of babysitters helping out and yourself getting back to me, because they need me to either go. I had two ideas. They wanted me to go as 590 the Fan.
How did they find you?
Let's just say that being writing for KSTK, Allied's kind of propped me up a little bit more this year. I'm part of two movie groups, so I guess they're trying to offer me up more for services. And also because I'm on a very highly rated show, and that can, it helps.
What show is that?
Large morning show in the afternoon.
That's exactly right.
So that helps out. And when I got the offer, I was like, I really thought to my wife, I was like, why me? Why do they want me going out there?
And but there was a stipulation, right?
There was, to play audio. Well, either I had to tell KSTK to let me come on the television, which they're not going to do that, and or I can play audio. They wanted me to come out here for 590 The Fan. So
if people want to know why they don't want you on Channel 5, turn us on right now on 11.2 and take a look at the. Wait, oh, that's right. We're not on 11.2. That's right. Forget it.
Oh, but
so you had to agree.
I know. And first thing is, before I even thought about it, I had to get your, you know, you're okay that I was going to be able to play some audio on the air. It's basically going to be a roundtable interview. They're making another Shaft film. It's kind of like a follow up to the 2000 film where Samuel L. Jackson took over for Richard Roundtree, but Roundtree was in the movie. It's kind of like, his older friend.
Wasn't the original Shaft even the 70s or something?
Yeah. So Richard Roundtree was the original Shaft.
Remember that theme song, He's a Bad Mother... Shut your mouth.
Yeah.
He's your man. Shaft! Yeah. I mean, they used that. And I had no idea there was another Shaft movie until he goes, hey, you want to go to New York? I'm like, wait, they're making it. There it is. There it is, man.
He's a bad machete man.
And he wears that long...
Listen to this. Listen. Yeah, this is deep.
Yeah.
And by the way, is this Quincy Jones? I think it is.
I think it is.
Yeah,
get you in the mood right here.
I think Quincy Jones did the music. That was a fantastic soundtrack.
And they used it in the Samuel L. Jackson film, too. They didn't change it.
Well,
nobody covered it.
They should.
No,
it's really good.
But in so they're making another Shaft film, and they're going to have them out in New York, and it's roundtable interviews, and I'm going to go out there. It's going to be like a stealth trip. I'm going to be in there Friday, and I'm going to be out Saturday. So it's going to be really fast. But getting a chance to at least ask Samuel L. Jackson a question is kind of cool. And Richard Roundtree is going to be there. The director, Tim Story, is going to be there as well. So the movie comes out on June 14th.
Do you know what you're going to ask Samuel L. Jackson?
You know, I'm probably going to ask him. I mean, here you are. I mean, you're going from a large franchise in Avengers, which kind of wrapped up his story a little bit in Endgame, and now he's bringing back this movie 19 years later. I want to ask him, I mean, how is it to go from character to character? Like, especially to go back to a character like Shaft. Like, I mean, how does he get in? How does he prepare for that? And how is it going to feel? Because the original Shaft
was Roundtree the 70s?
Yeah, he was a 70s Shaft. So they brought him back.
He's got to be 80s.
He's got to be 70s or 80s, yeah. So, and what I want to ask Samuel L. Jackson as well is that the Shaft that he was in was directed by the late John Singleton. So how is that making, you know, does that kind of have a sad little feeling? Because in the 2000 film, you had Christian Bale, who wasn't really anything on American soil yet. That was his first big role as a bad guy. He was a little, this is before he played Batman and everything else, but
he was some racist rich boy,
he
right?
He was a racist rich boy. He went up against Shaft, and of course he lost because he wasn't Batman. But you know, John Singleton, who just passed away last month.
I will give you $300 if you will say, speaking of Shaft, how big is your penis?
Oh, that'll be the last one I ever get. That'll be the last question. off the air, I'll just say,
wow.
That was a good roundtable, Samuel. But can I ask you a really personal question?
I need proof, though, off the air. I still need a recording.
I'll keep it going in my pocket.
Okay.
Oh, man. Yeah, so that's going to be on June 7th and June 8th.
I can't
get it out of my head now.
Can I take my Samuel L. Jackson?
Mr. Jackson.
But I'm sorry to say this. I don't like him. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because this is the mistake that actors make when they start getting political. I heard him go off on some political rant, and that did it for me. It's done it for me with several stars. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it from the left or the right.
Even if they're asked in an interview, I know he did an Esquire cover.
If they ask you in an interview, they say, you know what, I'm an actor, and I don't believe my political views should matter to anybody. I'm an actor.
See,
and I don't want to alienate any potential fan by saying
so.
That's what they should say.
I think some do, but Samuel L. Jackson is a guy, and this is in his last interview. He just said, you know, usually I do bypass that stuff, but he just doesn't care anymore. He's getting to be a certain age, and he's
like
just going to let us know.
De Niro doesn't care.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
Clint Eastwood doesn't care anymore. He doesn't care anymore. Why should he?
Yeah,
Eastwood.
But I don't know. I think Samuel L. Jackson's made some choices in his career. I think he's a great actor, but he's in a lot of rough stuff.
He's especially great at being a really bad guy.
Yeah, Pulp Fiction. I mean.
Oh, my goodness. And that one, wasn't it? The one where he was the bad cop neighbor? Remember that deal?
Yeah.
He was somebody's next door neighbor who was bad cop.
Beyonce in it, I think.
I don't remember.
Remember he chained the girl from Adam's Family up? It was called Black Snake Moan. He was a bad boy in that one. Of course, the first movie I ever watched him in was getting shot by Joe Pesci in Goodfellas. Remember, he was the guy who was going to be late for his own funeral. Joe Pesci goes up to pick him up, and he's like, you're going to be late for your own funeral, and shoots him right in the head. That was the quickest Samuel L. Jackson role of all time.
Was that who shot Pesci?
That was him. Yeah. Well, Pesci shot him.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And he tells him as he does it, like, you're going to be late for your own funeral, and because he's always late, there's his character in that movie. But that's the first thing I ever saw him in. That was back in the 80s, my gosh. But yeah, he's had a long career, but I went up and down his IMDb
best
page.
Best role ever, I'll tell you what it was. Hang on, it'll come to me.
I've already said mine.
No, hang on. It's where he's on trial for murder, and because of what they did to his daughter.
Joe Pesci?
Jackson. Samuel L. Jackson, best role. Oh, come on.
Older movie?
They raped, when the two white guys raped his daughter.
Yes, and he shot. I had it and I lost it. I know you know it.
Man.
What a movie.
Feels like it's in the 2000s.
Somebody will call or text us. No. Shoot us a text.
Guys, up and down.
855-282-8255.
Time to kill.
Time to kill. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, with Matthew McConaughey.
He was Samuel L. Jackson was fantastic.
I'll tell you what he was good in was the Tarantino film, Hateful Eight. He was a bad dude in that one. But, I mean, if there is
He was a bad mother.
He was a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. So I'll be having audio, I guess, if I'm going out in the 8th. That's going to be on the
11th.
The 11th. So yeah, I'll have some good audio from Samuel L. Jackson and possibly a personal question answered privately.
I doubt it.
What I have today is a review of Guy Ritchie's film. Now, let me just say, I like Guy Ritchie. I think he's done some good movies. He did Snatch with Brad Pitt.
Ooh.
The Sherlock Holmes films with Robert Downey Jr. But then
Hold
he does...
Hold on just one second.
Yes, sir. He was married to Madonna.
Hang on. Right. Can we say Snatch? I'm just checking with the censors. Hang on.
Oh, no.
S-N-A-T-T.
Check with Hadley. Snatch.
Hadley doesn't even know what it is.
They handed me the station guidelines.
Uh-oh.
Section 12. Here it is, right here. Page 338, section 4. Regarding the word snatch over the radio airwaves, the word is acceptable unless it's used to depict or in any way describe certain part of anatomy, blah, 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 blah. But otherwise, yeah. So we're good, yeah.
That's good.
Hey, before you go to this
Dan knows review, where I'm headed. Dan knows where I'm headed.
No, Joey Vitale called and asked
to ask you this question.
Uh-oh. Camel X play-by-play, Joey Vitale?
He does color.
Oh, color commentary.
The Train by Burt Lancaster. What do you think of that? It's a black and white movie.
It's no Swimmer.
And no. And what is your favorite black and white movie?
Black and white movie, I have to go. Let's see, Casablanca is probably my favorite black and white movie. I've watched that a bunch of times. I have not heard of that Burt Lancaster movie. When I think of Burt Lancaster, I think of Moonlight Graham from Field of Dreams.
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard of The Swimmer?
Have you ever seen The Swimmer?
I have never heard of The Swimmer. Sorry, Joey.
Well.
The Swimmer is...
If you don't mind, I'd like now for Dan to...
I think I drove Joey in an Uber one time, but I'm not sure.
Maybe.
Like for Dan to deliver a line from The Swimmer. Here now, it's actually Dan Strauss, but you'll think it's Burt Reynolds. I mean, Burt Lancaster. Here now, Dan as Burt Lancaster from The Swimmer.
I can swim all the way home. You have to watch this movie, The Swimmer. It is one
horrible.
Of the most god-awful movies you'd ever seen.
Oh, so it's so bad it's good?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, those are always fun to watch.
Burt Lancaster was the Birdman of Alcatraz, too.
It's like when you watch the Snakes movie. On a Plane. That's so bad.
I never saw it, and I don't want to see it.
But he was the Birdman of Alcatraz?
Stupid. It sounds stupid.
Bird, Dan,
it's
Bird.
So bad.
Yeah, Dan. No, Bert, the Birdman of Alcatraz is a true story. There was actually a prisoner in Alcatraz who raised birds, and Burt Lancaster portrayed that real-life person. Birdman of Alcatraz, good movie.
Yeah. Reminds me of the movie, the Michael Keaton movie, Birdman. That was a good one, too.
Not even similar at all.
Well, same part of the name, at least. Yeah. Probably a better movie.
That movie
reminds me of the birds.
The Keaton movie was horrible.
Yeah. Oh, I like that Keaton movie.
Horrible.
Oh, come
you
on.
You and I, we never agree on anything.
Occasionally we do. Every other month.
Nothing to do
and
with
now,
it.
And now back to whatever Dan was talking about.
What was I talking about?
You were going to review
Guy Ritchie. Guy Ritchie's a good director, but he happens to do some very, very bad movies. He did a movie last year that I really even regret giving my time to. It was called King Arthur, Legend of the Sword with Charlie Hunnam.
Oh, yeah,
a very good actor, but man, that movie was just, it was bad. And that's where you have to wonder, like, what was wrong with you when you made this movie? Were you, like, on high on some drugs? Well, he got high again when he made Aladdin. He decided to take this Disney classic that I think is great. You know, the genie was voiced by Robin Williams. It's still great. All the music is fantastic. And, well, Guy Ritchie must have sat in his office 2-3 years ago and said, you know, I'm going to get Will Smith to play the genie. And I like Will Smith. I think he's a good actor. But this movie came off as Hollywood karaoke. That's how bad this movie is. And, of course, you have the usual, the story is he got this street kind of hustler, and he meets a princess, and he kind of falls in love with her. And then there's a guy that wants this, this famous, he wants this very famous, piece. What is it called?
A lamp,
yeah.
That's where the genie comes from, man. Come on.
That's the whole, that just tells you how much I didn't like the movie. Lantern, lamp.
It's a lamp. Okay. You rub the lamp and the genie comes out.
I just want to say that
I love Lamp, just like Steve Carell did in Anchorman.
I love Lamp.
That's what I said the whole movie. I love Lamp. Brick, what are you talking about? The movie is, it made $110 million over the weekend because it's a very kid-friendly movie. And look, Will Smith does his best, but let's put it this way. 3 minutes into the movie, you see Will Smith. He's on a boat. His character has these two kids. He's on a boat, and he's talking to his kids. And it looks like Will Smith is trying to work an accent of some sort. And then here's the funny part. 2 minutes later, the accent is gone. It's like Will Smith said, I can't do it. I'm just going to go, nope, I can't.
It's like Limey after the show. You know,
when he doesn't have an accent?
If you do that...
That's really good.
No, now I'm going to get an email from...
Trevor, do you do that?
I knew that accent was fake.
Trevor, so when you go out, you're just like Keanu Reeves?
No,
hey, what's going on?
No, he's from the hood out in the parking lot. He's like, what up, Wood? What you doing after the show, boy?
Tim.
I'll see you tomorrow at 3 p.m., dog.
Tim's a you-know-what disturber. He just...
Yeah,
he is. The accent's real.
But no, in the movie... You know, you watch it, you go, did Will Smith just abandon his accent? He's like, guy, I can't do it. I'm just going to be Will Smith, Fresh Prince. That's what the movie is.
You want me to share with people the worst actor, the worst accent ever attempted by an actor?
Can I guess? Let me guess.
I'll bet you get it.
Nicolas Cage and Captain Carol Mandolin.
I got this.
That's close.
I got this one.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's a Nick Nolte doing Italian in Lorenzo's Oil.
Oh, really?
Lorenzo's Oil.
Yeah.
Oh, that was
bad. But that Nick Cage thing is close.
It was almost like he couldn't do it, and he just said, you know what, I'm going to do it so bad, I have to do it.
It was embarrassing. It was so bad. Yeah. Both of them. Lorenzo's Oil with Nick Nolte. Oh, my goodness.
He's a really good actor, but he has done some bombs in his career. Kind of like Samuel L. Jackson. You look up and down his IMDb, I think he's been in 100-plus movies, but I'd say about 50 or 60 are pretty bad.
You know what? If we were in that position and somebody threw $1 million at us, we'd go, that's a crappy movie, but I'll take the money.
I bet you he's being paid $15 million at least to do this chef movie.
Take it and do it.
He shows up, he puts on the coat, says about six lines, and that's about it.
Good for him.
But Aladdin, I would just give you the advice of watching the original. It's far better. It's not laughable. I think there's a lot of unintentional laughter in this new one. And I went in wanting to like it. I thought, you know what, they're going to remake this with a live-action version. Go ahead, Guy Ritchie. Do something to impress me. But he is a guy that can be really good. I love his Sherlock Holmes movies with Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law. They're very fun. And again, he did a very kind of Quentin Tarantino Pulp Fiction ripoff, but a good one in Snatch. And he had Rock and Rolla with Gerard Butler. But here, I want to know what his thought process for a movie is. Like, okay, I'm not going to do the gangster movie. I'm going to go do Aladdin. Like, how does he get there? I mean, I guess maybe he was offered by Warner Brothers.
Just ARD.
Because look, you know what? It made a bunch of money, so I'll give him that. ARD's won. That's it. That's hard.
Here it is.
All right, Dan.
I want those two hours back. I want those 2 hours back.
I will not see that.
We have a call.
We have a call.
Crank it up. What do you got?
Hey, you have a caller. It's Jim. Jim, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you? Say hello to Dan Buffa.
I'm great, Dan Buff. I love your stuff.
That's good.
There it is. You guys know each other.
Totally hetero, though. Totally hetero.
Okay.
Right.
I'm AM and the PM.
Well, of course you are.
First of all, the best performance in Time to Kill was Ashley Judd in the southern hot no air conditioning home scrubbing the floor. Look it up. It's amazing.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to give you another hot. I'm going to give you another hot scene in more ways than one. Hot, like sexually hot, and hot in temperature. The movie was Atlantic City with Burt Lancaster and Susan Sarandon, and she's at the kitchen sink bathing her breasts in lemon juice.
Are you kidding me? This must have been young Susan Sarandon.
Yes.
Her shirt is soaked,
and she's got lemon juice. She's squirting
on
herself.
If anybody who's watched the last season of Ray Donovan, she's still pretty hot.
I got one.
She is nasty.
I got one that'll top all of that. It is The Wild Things with Denise Richards.
Yes, Naomi Campbell.
There you go.
Ooh.
Of course, there's hotter scenes. I'm talking about, like, she's, like, just scrubbing the floor. She's fully clothed. It's not, like, all out, like, soft porn. It's just, it's hot.
That's not, like, sweaty palm porn.
I got news for you. Ashley Judd could be wearing a full-length fur coat and scrubbing the floors in the kitchen.
That's somebody I haven't seen anything in a little while.
No. I got to toss one into the hat. Did you ever see Two Moon Junction with Sherilyn Fenn?
Yes.
one of my favorite movies of all time, where the cartoon, nice. Where the guy comes in with the carnival and he's the hunkadelic yep. guy, you uh-huh. know, and there's some hot steamy Finn. Stuff in there.
She's a woman. She was a classic.
Jim, sorry to take your segment here, but I'm going to tell you the movie. This was described in a review in a movie magazine as the hottest, most erotic, I believe, 6 seconds in any movie that wasn't porn. And it's it's Disclosure with Demi Moore and Michael Douglas.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Hell
when
yeah.
she's got him,
scratches him
in the office. Yes.
That was that was premium Demi yes. Moore. That was her best.
That was at her peak.
What was that? 97, 98?
I don't know,
98?
But she never, ever has been hotter than that.
I just got a few seconds worth here.
Okay.
Burt Lancaster, it's a little past its time. It was better like in the 80s with all the televangelist scandals going on. But Elmer Gantry, it's amazing.
Yes,
it's amazing.
It's a great movie. You're right.
It's timeless. And one more thing, it's on YouTube, full broadcast. Gary Sinise couldn't make it, but the Memorial Day National Concert, it was awesomer than ever. Anyway, I know it's a day late, but just watch it anyway, because it's awesome. It's awesome.
With today's technology, you can still watch anything, anytime.
It never goes away.
And it is more awesome than ever, and just a great, great tribute to our people that gave everything, and some still alive, but they gave a lot, too. So,
right.
Anyway.
Thank you.
Anyway.
Yeah. Thank you, Jim. All right. Now, he mentioned Elmer Gantry. Burt Lancaster plays an evangelist, and I know Dan remembers this, and I want Dan to play this for us. There's a scene in Elmer Gantry where he's doing a revival, a tent revival. It's out in a field, and it gets flooded badly, and the only way out is to swim. And the first person they want to save is Elmer Gantry,
yeah.
And they said, Reverend Gantry, you're going to have to swim out of here. Possibly all the way out of here to your house. Do you think you can do it? And here's what he said.
I could swim all the way home.
Oh, <yeah. laughs> So bad it's good.
You know, there's another scene in Birdman of Alcatraz where Burt Lancaster is a prisoner in Alcatraz, and they're telling him they may be moving him to the Rock. You know what I'm talking about?
The Rock.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that's surrounded by water off San Francisco.
Yeah, you know? And Sean Connery.
Yeah, and they said, you know, to the Birdman, which Burt Lancaster, they said, you know, Birdman, if they transfer you there, you're never getting out of there. You'd actually have to, if you wanted to get out of there, break out and go home, you'd have to swim home. And here's what the Birdman of Alcatraz said.
I could swim all the way home.
Burt Lancaster's getting a lot of mileage on this show. When somebody searches Burt Lancaster, this shows and this segment's going to come up.
Oh, yeah.
You bet.
Talks a lot about swimming.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah. Again, he's always going to be Moonlight Graham to me, the guy that Kevin Costner tries to get come place in baseball. And then he saves his daughter. Good stuff. Anybody want to watch that? It's baseball season. Great movie.
Oh, and he was a swimmer, too, in high school. No, I'm just kidding.
I think the bit's
who
over.
Played yeah, Moonlight okay. Graham?
I think we're done with that bit.
Burt Lancaster.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, okay. He did, yeah. That's the role that I kind of remember him from. That was the late 80s. I think he died shortly after this. He was pretty old. That was 88.
And he did a couple other old-timers where they decided to rob a bank or something. You know what I'm talking about? Those don't ever really work. Those don't work.
He must have been in a lot of movies. So his big time was what, in the 70s?
Oh, yeah.
Or in the 60s.
60s and 70s.
All right.
What was the one? It was like Clint Eastwood. It was three old. Clint Eastwood and James Caan. It was like three or four old guys got together and pulled their last heist or something. You know what I'm talking about? And it was horrible, too. Oh, and then there was another one called something Cowboy, Space Cowboys or something.
Yeah. With James Garner.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Okay, terrible. So guess how many movies Burt Lancaster was in. How many roles on IMDb? Just throw out a number.
I'll say 60.
I'll say 75.
Tim?
I'll say 75 and a half.
Oh, good grief.
Mr. Strauss?
Daniel? I'll say 76.
87. Ooh. 87.
I think 87.
Dan wins. Good job, Dan.
He died in 94 at the age of 80.
Hmm.
Man,
Burt Lancaster?
Yeah.
He only looked older 80. Than 80.
Yeah, I'm surprised he was
when he was Moonlight Graham.
What else do you have? Well, John's on the phone. Talk to John.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I just got some news.
Okay, John, then we'll have some news. John, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to...
thank you, Frank. Yeah. AM and the PM, as always.
All right, John. Good to hear from you. What do you got?
Well, as far as the sensuous scenes, I'd have to say Joy Harmon in Cool Hand Luke washing the car.
Oh, yeah. Yep. That's a good one.
Reportedly...
washing the car.
Yeah.
Washing. Here's her her measurements were 41-22-36.
Woo! That's memory right there.
Yes.
And that just makes me miss Paul Newman, George Kennedy. They're all gone. Everybody in that movie.
They are all gone.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Paul Newman's a master.
John, you okay? You sound a little worked up. You okay?
Oh, well, I'm looking at the images right now.
It's getting all hot and bothered. Those palms are getting sweaty.
Any of those car wash scenes where any big busted gal is washing the car and soaping the car with her boobs against the glass, all of those are good. Just put that in a movie. You got a hot scene. You got
that's right.
See,
have
only,
a great week, guys.
All right, John, you too. Thank
if
you.
If only Aladdin had a couple of those scenes.
That's all you
maybe
need.
Maybe got a one and a half.
Could have saved the movie.
Jessica Simpson in Dukes of Hazzard, the remake.
Say, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was her 10 minutes of movie fame, but that was some good fame.
Is there anything hotter on The Right Girl than those little cut-off jean
there
shorts?
There is not. There
those
is
little
not.
Raggedy jean shorts.
Yep, there isn't. There's
Daisy
nothing
Dukes.
Better.
And is there anything uglier on The Wrong Girl than those little cut-off shorts?
Yeah. It's a double-sided sword. Double-edged sword.
Man, we were at the lake this weekend, and there you
saw it all, didn't you?
You see it all. You see everything from tongue hanging out, wow, is she gorgeous, to do you not own a mirror? I mean, you see women that just, you just think, how could you wear that?
I have an Uber story that has to do with women wearing revealing clothing in my car.
Let's hear it.
It's tough, and this is the ultimate test, because they want to see if you're going to look. And this could lead to a bad review.
Well,
or maybe,
they want
maybe
you to look.
Yeah. But this woman kind of gets in the car. I'm over right down by the Enterprise Center.
Was she by herself?
By herself.
Okay. In the and back seat, left or right? Directly behind you or over diagonally?
She got in the front seat.
Oh, front seat.
And it's tough.
Okay.
Because she has, you know, she's on the corner of the street. She had to yell, hey, oh, yeah, that's me. And she comes over and gets in the car. And women will do this because I guess they feel more comfortable if they're up front with you.
They shouldn't with you. Look at you.
Yeah, exactly. But she gets in the car, and right away when she's running over in front of my car, I'm thinking, oh, no.
Don't get in the front seat. Settle in.
Don't look. And then she gets right in the front seat. Then she wants to talk. And you know, if you don't make eye contact.
Now, describe her.
She's, I would say she's in her 20s. She's blonde, got nice long blonde hair.
So far,
she was wearing kind of the jeans that cut off at the calves, but not
cup
like,
size, man.
Yeah.
Gets the important
I would
part.
Say not Julia Roberts, but definitely not Demi Moore. Maybe in between.
In between is fine.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
And she was wearing one of those shirts that kind of just leaves everything in the middle open.
Oh.
Everything in the middle. So,
for your first word, I'm married.
No, I was just like, hi, and then the eyes on the road the whole time. It was a really short ride, but it just tells you that, you know, that is that's a testy situation. And also on the same
testy.
You had testy.
No, whoa, woo. Okay, there, Burt Lancaster.
She had a revealing top, and he had his testes on.
Yeah,
oh, man.
You think now the best way to get up here is to go market.
Yeah.
Friday night was also
St. Nicholas. I mean Nicholas Catholic Church.
You want to go to St. Charles? You want to go down the street? Okay.
Going to Cleveland?
Somebody has put in the wrong Molly's. I guess there's a Molly's. There's Molly's in Soulard. And then there's Molly's in Philadelphia.
Take that gal to Philadelphia.
And this guy, I said, sir, I'm just going to tell you this before we get on the highway. You put Molly's in Philadelphia. Oh, no, I mean Soulard. Like, okay, it's about ready to get on the highway and charge you $400.
What you should have said to this 20-something blonde, plunging neckline, you should have said... I just want to say right off the bat, if I'm a little chatty, please excuse me. I'm just in such a good mood because my divorce just went through today. So it's finally final, and I got all the money. Now, where would you like to go?
Oh, man. So on the same night, I had my first makeout session in the back of my seat.
Oh, this was a good
night.
I
understand. I have accumulated 2,744 rides in just under 2 years, and I have yet to have a makeout session.
Was it two chicks or guy and a gal?
Young guy, young girl.
Okay, perfect.
And they started off on opposite sides, but the girl...
Well, that's old school, a guy and a girl making out. Whoa.
The girl was drunk. She was zombie, hurricane perfect. Drunk. The guy was probably not as drunk. And I just see her go across the seat, and I just see all I hear is breathing, moving, the seat's getting pushed, and I'm like, and they give you some pointers, man, just hold on, don't, and I think he kind of pulled away, but then she kind of went back
he
to the other
away.
Side. I don't know, because you know what, I wasn't gonna look, but you know, you kind of get that little corner of your eye, like let me see what this guy's doing.
What do you mean pulled out?
I don't know. They were going hot and heavy, and then all of a sudden she went back to the other side.
Why aren't your eyes on the road? What is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Well, Tim, unlike you, I can multitask.
He's calling yourself
one eye on the road.
Guy.
Well, you know, when it I mean, it's all about the volume. I was hearing first base and then second base. I didn't hear third, but just by the volume of breath and
you
heavy
heard,
breathing.
You heard second base?
Second base.
But
oh,
not
yeah,
third.
For sure. Not third. No, not third. Well,
maybe well, we're right,
you know,
maybe we're right home.
Like?
Second,
know,
right to home.
The soundtrack of the girl.
Maybe he skipped third.
Maybe he skipped third. Maybe the guy wasn't ready for third. And I can tell that they just met. I can tell. They must have either been their first or second date, or they just met. But they're kind of exchanging things about each other. Oh, you went to, okay, yeah. So it was very basic information. So, okay, this is new. And I'm thinking, buddy, why did you, hopefully you didn't pull away from this girl because she wanted to, you know,
all
get
out.
Some, she yeah, she in. Wanted to go out. I mean, she was like, this is a 100-yard dash and you just pulled up at the 20. I mean, come on, man.
You have a piercing down there?
But again, that was a short ride too.
What?
So.
A short ride?
I just kind of went
then. What was
it.
That you said?
A piercing down he, there. Well, girls, some girls have piercings down there.
They do.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
They do.
I'm not sure that would stop them.
Were you doing the voice of the guy?
Yeah, asking.
He was stirring Burt Lancaster mode.
Just asking.
I know, he wouldn't, but that doesn't make sense. He wouldn't say that. It's dark in the back of the car. Why would he have said, do you have a piercing down there?
I'm going to ask that next time. Let me, before you guys make out and have sex, do you have a piercing? Okay, go ahead. Continue on. But again, it was a short ride. It was, you know, I kind of wanted to see if maybe 5 minutes later up 44, they go, okay, they're back at it.
Well, you sick pervert driver.
I am, man. Sometimes I can be, but I give the exterior of a very professional driver. But yeah, you see everything. It's like when you see at the lake. I see everything on any given night, any given Saturday night. I see the whole spectrum of the human species: drunk, regular.
You know
loud.
That joke? What did the leper say to the hooker? Keep the tip.
Well, tonight, a preview of next week, I'm going to see Godzilla with the kid. And the kid is, again, this is more excited. My kid is ready for this.
Go ahead, Dan. Go ahead. No, Dan, go ahead and do it. I know what Dan's going to do. Go ahead, do it.
King of the Monster.
Godzilla. He always does that.
There it is.
He does the Asian. Godzilla.
Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Is it open for anybody to see, or you got to be like special?
It's press.
Ah.
Oh, you know.
Well, hey, if you want to go, let me know, because I always get a plus one, and he doesn't always want to go. My wife never wants.
We're about
to
run out of time, so I have to ask you this: the Elton John movie, it's coming
out. Rocket Man
this weekend, right?
Yes.
That looks really good.
It looks really good.
Is it going to be here?
It is going to be here. May 31st comes out Thursday night.
Good.
Yeah, it looks great, and also the reaction early from critics is that it's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is that. Elton John was involved in the making of it, which made me, I didn't know that at first, but he was there every step of the way, casting the performances of the song. He does all of his own singing, the actor. He was in Kingsman. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. I'm not even going to try. He's a great
it's like
young actor.
Tiger Eggington or something.
He's very good. I mean, the trailers, I mean, he looks like a young Elton John. So Rocket Man comes out. And also, Octavia Spencer in her first...
She's fantastic.
She plays a villain in a movie called Ma, coming out this Friday as well. It looks terrifying, but I'm taking the kid to see Godzilla tonight, so... Three movies coming out.
We watched The Help.
This week.
Oh, it's a great movie.
It's running
My
now.
My dad watched it. It's on a cable right now.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I forgot
one.
How good it
Jessica
was.
Jessica Chastain, Emma Stone.
Yes.
They're all
good.
Viola Davis. But until then, I'll have reviews of Godzilla and Octavia Spencer and Ma. Maybe Rocket Man, maybe not. That'll be for next week. But for now, I'm Dan Buffa. I've had enough of.
All right.
Dan Buffa.
On his way to, is it New York?
Yes, New York on June 7th. So I'll be here next week before
where,
I go.
Where are they putting you up when you
They're
go?
They're putting me up at the Essex Hotel next to South Central Park.
Is it Essex House?
Ooh. Essex House, Marriott.
Yes. The only reason I know that is because on SNL, they used to say, you know, guests of Saturday Night Live stay courtesy of Essex House. There you know, they yeah, plug they the place to put up the, or guests of the Rosie O'Donnell and Show stay at the Essex House.
And the interviews are happening in Old Harlem, which I have no idea where that's at, but I'm going to find out next week.
Well, again, it's a week away. It's not this coming weekend.
So. June 7th, June 8th, I'll be talking to you next week before I go.
Unless we get bumped off the air, because we just got bumped off this Thursday, so hopefully we'll be on.
Blues game next Monday. Okay, we're good next week.
Okay, I hope so. All right, Dan Buffa, thank you. Dan Buffa, courtesy of Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States for a lot of good reasons. If you want to know more, go to windowworldstlouis.com. Thank you, Dan. That was me turning away live, saying goodbye. See, this is all behind-the-scenes stuff. When you hear me go, okay, thank you, Dan. That's me. I'm turning to the door as he's leaving. Just
keeping
paint a picture
informed
for you, but I have to paint a picture because we're not on 11.2. If we were on 11.2, I wouldn't have to do that. Tim, how are you doing, okay? We shared with the audience you had to step out. You're not feeling well.
Yeah,
I'd give it one, all right, then.
Just one ARD? That's all? You're not a four?
No,
you're
only one? One ARD.
Well, he's still hanging in there, though. He's still. You going to make it through one more newscast?
Yes.
You can do this, buddy.
Okay. All right. I don't have to. It's my pleasure to talk about, or to ask you, I guess, where you bank. Not any particular person, but everybody listening. Where do you bank? Why do you bank there? Most of you, 99% of you, can't give me a real reason. You don't have a real reason. At least you had a reason for when you started banking there. Well, we just moved and this bank was close, or my husband or wife had banked there. Okay, fine. Why do you bank there now? And you probably don't have a good reason. I have several good reasons why you may want to change where you do your banking. This is one of those tough things to sell because I can't make it as attractive as, you know, a new car or new heating and air conditioning system or a cruise, a great vacation. It's banking, all right? But it still can be a better experience one place than another place, and that one place is First Community Credit Union. First Community Credit Union is a place to bank. In fact, it's over 40 places to bank because they have over 40 locations. It's the largest credit union in the St. Louis area. Every Thursday morning from 7 to 9 o'clock, this station, 590 The Fan, has the original yard sale carried over from the other place. It is sponsored and has been for years by First Community Credit Union, the only sponsor. That's why you only hear one commercial, four times an hour, and that's it. No clutter, just lively banter, entertainment, and selling stuff. 7 to 9 o'clock Saturday morning, First Community Credit Union. A couple of reasons you might want to look into changing where you do your banking to First Community Credit Union and joining us and becoming a member. Let's go with this. Home equity line of credit. Last year, I had to have a whole bunch of railroad ties replaced in the back of my house. There was a retaining wall. I did not want to do it. It was expensive. It was a grudge purchase. Use that as an example. Several years ago, our deck collapsed because one of my sons decided to invite about 40 friends over, and they all got on the deck, and it completely collapsed. It could have killed somebody. And there was a hot barbecue grill going at the time, and it all went down. I had to have a new deck built. Maybe you need a new deck. Maybe you need landscaping. Maybe you want to put in a pool. Maybe you'd like to add a room or do a Four Seasons room. Sometimes that stuff costs money you don't have. But if you're a homeowner, you have equity in your home, this is where First Community Credit Union steps up with a home equity line of credit. And that's the line of credit you use, and you take as much of it as you need to do the project, complete the project you want to complete. And if you do that before June 30th, if you take that out before June 30th, your first 12 months of repayment, the first 12 months of that loan, you're going to pay back at only 2.49% APR. That is a terrific rate for the first 12 months. There are a lot of other good reasons. Wedding loans, motorcycle loan, or bicycle. I guess if you get a really expensive bicycle, there are expensive bicycles. Boat loans. It's that time of year for all that stuff. First Community Credit Union. Find out more at firstcommunity.com. Playhouse is coming up. Bill Cleveland is in the building. It's going to be fun. It's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is Larry Connors. You're listening to 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, and 590thefan.com St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Dean Muccio. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine says the damage is devastating after tornadoes tore through the Buckeye State last night.
I want to come here today just to express to people our sympathy. We can't pretend to understand what they've been through, but we wanted to let them know that we care very, very much.
DeWine toured the